Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, one of our volunteers, Peter Peach, finishes up our series Lifelines, talking about how godly friendships can change the world. Peter talks about his testimony and how community has changed him. We look at Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25, and what community looks like in the church back then. Peter challenges us to be ready to share with others about how Jesus has worked in our own lives, like it says to do in 1 Peter 3:15. We hope you enjoy this message.
Dallas asked me to speak to you guys and talk a little bit about community. So I'm going to share with you guys some thoughts on community and why it's important. And then I'm going to paint a picture for you a little bit, too, about what it can look like when you don't have community. And so hopefully we'll have a better understanding of it. But when I say the word community, and we throw this around a lot in the church, and you guys probably hear this a lot, what do you think of? What is community? People around you. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, a group of people formed together with a purpose. Very good. Anyone else? All right, so the official definition, and you guys hit on both of them, this is great. A group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common, right? So living here in Greenville, living in the upstate, living in America, you know, we have a sort of loose community based on our location in your neighborhood. You might have friends that you hang out with in your neighborhood that you don't necessarily hang out with other places because you have a community there as well. Or being here on location here at the church, right? And then you have the second definition, and this is the one we'll focus on, a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals, okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about that and some of the common attitudes, interests, and goals. So the verse today is Hebrews 10, and it's in verse 24 through 25, and it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So when we talk about community and the purpose of community and the function of community, one of the things is so that we can be together to encourage each other and to lift each other up and to build each other up. And when someone is falling short, you can help pick them up and help your brother. And so what you realize over time is that this is actually a witness to other people as well. And this lets people see what's special about our community, and we'll talk about that. One thing I'm going to emphasize today is to value what you have here. This is really special. How many of you were at Epic? Man, that was awesome, right? Yeah. I mean, it was fiery. It was crazy. I was a counselor there, and I couldn't speak for like 3 days. I was exhausted. I mean, you guys have like boundless energy, and I mean, I got like sores on my lip. People look like I got stranded in the desert. They're like, "What happened to you?" I was like, "I like dehydrated. I was dying. These kids were killing me." But it was awesome. I mean, just to see the fire and the passion and the spirit moving in your young lives, and just to see the energy coming out of that, I was blown away. I had never seen anything like it. I went to Dallas, and I said, "Dallas, what you have here is so special. It's remarkable to me. And I wish I had had this when I was growing up." I was like, things could have been so dramatically different for me. So let me tell you what happened to me. I got saved right around the 5th grade, so a little bit younger than you guys. And we were, my father's in the military, so we were living in Germany at the time, and we were part of a church that had a good community, a lot of other kids. So I come to know Jesus. I'm so fired up. I'm on fire. And then we end up moving. So we end up moving. We go to Louisiana. We get to Louisiana, and we don't find a church. We're in this little tiny church. There's like me, my brother, my sister, and like one other family. So there's like 7 of us. It's smaller than what's here in the children's group, right? We just have this little tiny, we're just staring at each other, right? But I'm still on fire. So every time I go to school, I'd go and meet the guys, and I'm like, "Hey, you have Jesus? Do you know Jesus?" And they're like, "Whoa, easy, easy, man." And they're like, "You don't even know my name." I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry, what's your name?" It's like, "Mike." "Mike, do you have Jesus? Do you know Jesus?" And I was just all in their faces constantly. And they were just like, "Whoa." So I got this nickname, Preacher Peach. That's what they would call me. They're like, "Oh, boy, here comes Preacher Peach." Preacher Peach is calling everyone down. I was like, you guys got to get it together. You got to. And they just couldn't relate to it. And then I started wondering, wait a second, why am I the only person doing this? Why are there not other kids talking about this? So then we move again. We end up going to Washington. We're in the Seattle area. And I'm in high school. And I start doing the same things, but I'm doing it. I kind of have this seed of doubt. I kind of feel this faith waning because I kind of feel like I'm the only game in town that's even talking about this. And I got up there, and, you know, it's not in the South. Out on the West Coast, it's a whole different vibe. And those guys out there, they weren't even thinking about Jesus. They're like, what? What are you talking about? Nobody out here focuses on that, right? And so maybe there were other Christian kids in my school, but I didn't know them. I wasn't in that church. We were in another small church. And so what I found was I just felt my faith get chipped away. And so I became a community with people who didn't care about Christ. And so what happened was I started adopting their attitudes, their interests. I started adopting their goals. And next thing I know, I'm in trouble. I'm in a world of hurt. And I'm doing terrible, awful things I never dreamed of. I went down a path that haunted me for many years. It wasn't until I was almost 30 that I was able to come out of that. I've got scars on my life that I could never get rid of and that you're just stuck with. You move past it, but it hurts. And so, you know, when I'm standing up here talking to you guys, it's not to just preach at you or yell at you or say, I'm here because I've been down the road, and most of the adults here, they're all here because we've all been down a path and we've made mistakes and we've seen all the potholes. And when you know where the potholes are, then you can tell people, hey, don't go there, because bad things can happen. And so that's what we're trying to do, is encourage you not to get in these potholes. And hopefully you will realize the value of this, and you won't go down that path of making the kind of mistakes that I made. And when I was almost 30 years old, finally I got to the point I was so discouraged and so depressed in my life, and I just thought, man, I don't even want to live anymore. I'm done. And I said, I got one hope. I said, Jesus, I've ruined my life. I've done everything wrong. So if you can just take over. I call it my Jesus take the wheel moment. You guys remember that song? Jesus take the wheel. Right, that one. I was having that before that song was a thing. That song wasn't even a thing yet. That was just, that was me saying, look, I'll surrender to you. And if you can please just help me. I'll do whatever you ask. And you know what? You know what's interesting? And it didn't happen immediately. I'd love to say a bolt of lightning hit me like Thor. And I was like, yeah, now I have the power of Jesus. And I was perfectly fine. That wasn't what happened. Over time, God brought me to a community of believers. He brought me and showed me, hey, this is what a community looks like. This is what a community of believers look like. And they came around me and encouraged me and built me up. And next thing I know, God's got a hold of my life, and I've gone down a totally different path from where I was headed. All because of the power of this community, because I could see Jesus lived out every day in this community. So what does this look like for us? And I want to encourage you to realize that in this moment, you have something special here. And just because you have it now doesn't mean you'll always have it, right? Treasure this, cherish this, and find it. Find it no matter where you go, because, right, we're not going to be here forever in this location, in this spot. So, community. What can community be built around? Do you guys know of any other communities that you think of? Church, what else? School. Friends. Your neighborhood. What about sports? Right? Who's a Clemson fan? Woo! Go Tigers! Right? Okay, so we have a kinship. You can see this already, right? Just because we like Clemson, all of us Clemson guys are like, yeah, Clemson. We already have a little bit of a bond, right? Who likes Fortnite or? Well, okay, some people like video games, right? Yeah, you play Fortnite with each other. There are all these interests. People are trying to find community, and they will build it around whatever they can. They will try to find, it might be animals. It might be, they try to build a community on Facebook. or through Instagram or whatever. They're desperately trying to find communities that they can be a part of. And a lot of times what happens is you're just looking in the wrong place. So when you think about us and our community, what is our number one common interest? Who said it? I heard it. Jesus. It's Jesus. Right? Jesus is our number one common interest. And that's important. I mean, think about it. Jesus can bring together all these people that are very different that you may not normally hang out with, but because we all have this commonality in Jesus, in his blood, in his salvation, we have this common interest. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we're not going to read through it, but I encourage you to read it at some point, and it just talks about community and unity in the Bible and getting along, and so much of the Bible is just about us having a strong, tight-knit community. And when you are in Jesus, you're basically family. You're more than just acquaintances. We're related, you and I. Jesus calls us his brothers and sisters. We're brothers and sisters with each other because we share the same blood. That family is strong and powerful. And sometimes we forget that. And we build a community around it. One thing we need to keep in mind on this journey, because we're all on this journey together, right? You have to kind of think of life as a journey. And we have an ultimate destination that's unique to us in the Christian community. And what's that? Heaven, right? Inevitably, we end up at heaven. Now, how many of you have ever gone to Disney? You guys ever been to Disney? Woo! Yeah, Disney. All right, I got a confession to make. I had never been to Disney until like 4 years ago. I'd never been. Okay? It was forever. I was like, I don't even want to say what age, but it was very late. And I didn't even want to go to Disney. I told my wife, I was like, man, they just want my money. It's going to cost me a fortune. I don't want to go to Disney. The kids will be fine. I never went to Disney growing up. I turned out fine. And my wife's like, are you sure you turned out fine? Okay, maybe not. So we went to Disney. And let me tell you, everybody was so excited. The kids, we had the best ride ever. 8-hour drive, they were perfect. Why? Because they're going to Disney. They didn't matter. They're like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'm like, we ain't stopping. They're like, okay. They don't care because we're going to Disney. We didn't stop and get food. Oh, that's fine. We're going to Disney. The road's bumpy. It's raining. Who cares? We're going to Disney. It made the whole ride so much smoother. Everything went so well. And you know what? Why don't we do that in our Christian community? Why don't we think about the fact that, you know what? Big secret, heaven is way better than Disney. You're going to get to heaven, and you're going to be like, Disney was a joke. That was so weak. Why did I think Disney was so great? Heaven is awesome. And I think sometimes we think of heaven, and we just think, oh, it's going to be so boring. I don't want to sit on a cloud and play a harp. She'd be like, wah, 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 all day. That's not how it's going to be, man. Heaven is going to be amazing. It's something we need to look forward to. And when you can get that at the forefront and as a community, when we think about that, it's going to help you on the journey to get there. And part of that journey is for us to be together. Be on that ride together. Now, I will go ahead and throw this out. I loved Disney when I got there. It was fantastic. I was shelling out money. I didn't even care. I was like, oh, yeah, Mickey Mouse, take my money. It doesn't matter. Everything's great at Disney. Life's better at Disney. Totally commercialized, but it was worth it. So I'll just throw that in there. So when we think about our destination and this great thing we have, this gift of community we have, that leads us to a common attitude in our community. And what is the attitude we should have? It's kind of played out. I say this all the time. Gratitude. If you can have an attitude of gratitude in your life, it is changing. It will change the way you see life, the way you navigate through life, the way you interact with each other. A sense of gratitude over the fact that we have this great salvation in Jesus and we have this ultimate ending that no matter what happens, we will all be in heaven, this a most amazing place. And when you can have this gratitude in 1 Thessalonians, if we can pull that up, 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. God is basically commanding us, hey, be grateful for what I've given you. Now, how many of you guys know people that just are negative people? They're just pessimistic all the time, right? And some of you may be that person. And for some people, it's just such an ingrained habit, they can't help it. They just naturally look at the negative side of things. And I think for our community, the more we can look at the positives and the good things and all that the Lord's given us, it's going to stand out to people and it's going to make a difference. So let's have this common attitude of gratitude together and let that be played out to the world. So that leads us to our final thing. What is our goal? So we're all here together, and it's not just to hang out, just to say hi to your buddies. What is the ultimate goal of this community? Yeah. So what happens when you learn more and more about Jesus, and you're grateful for this, what naturally comes out of that? Happiness, and what else? Right? When you have something that you like, do you typically keep it to yourself? Or do you tell other people about it? Right? So here's the interesting thing. I went to Disney. I came back. I was telling everybody. Woo! Disney's amazing. I love Disney. You should go to Disney. Disney, 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 Disney. Clemson fans, right? Oh, I love Clemson. We're the champs. You'll tell everybody. You'll wear your Clemson shirt. You'll wear your buttoned up Clemson. My wife's got Clemson stickers everywhere, right? Gamecocks are the same way, or at least they used to demonstrate this. So there, I'll throw out some Gamecock love, right? Okay, there we go. Look, we identify with these groups, right? And we lay it out, and we say, hey, I want everybody to know about this. And so you got to ask yourself, do you do that? Do you live out the gospel? Do people even know that you go to church? Do people even know that you have Jesus? And I'm not saying you got to be like me, like a bull in a china shop, right? I'm not saying you got to be that guy who's running up going, hey, 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 let me talk to you about Jesus. And they're like, oh, easy. But what I am saying is people should know what's going on in your life. You should be excited to talk about Jesus. You should be excited to invite your friends here to experience what you experience in this amazing community. If you appreciate and value this community, you should want it for others. And if you appreciate and value Jesus, you should want it for others. That's the ultimate goal for what we're trying to do, right? Is live out this gospel. So if you look at 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Respectfully share your testimony. Now, when I see this verse, the first thing I think is you need to be prepared to have an answer to somebody. If somebody comes up to you and says, wow, what's different about you? Or what's this I hear about Jesus? You need to be able to say why you love Jesus and what he's doing in your life. That's the best thing you can do for a person that you encounter that's curious about what's going on in your life. When that person's like, why are you so grateful? Why are you so positive? Why are you so happy? Why are you so connected to your church? Why are you wearing your church shirt to school? Does anyone do that? There you go. All right, if you can't, that's fine. Do you wear it out in public? Do people ask you? You need to have a prepared answer, right? If somebody asks me, why do you like Clemson? Then I say, well, when I got married, when I first moved here to South Carolina, I pulled for both schools. I pulled for Clemson and the Gamecocks. I didn't care. I was from here. I had friends that went to both places. I didn't know that was a big no-no. Apparently, that's a really bad thing. I had no idea. So I met my beautiful wife, Lisa. And luckily, that community I talked to you about earlier where I was in church, that community, we met and fell in love and went through the whole thing and got married. And one of the things she told me was, I was cheering for both schools, and she said, hey, I love you, and I'm excited about what's happening here, but yeah, that's got to stop. I was like, what? She's like, you can't cheer for both schools. You got to choose one or the other, and one comes with me and one doesn't. So I'm a Clemson fan by marriage, right? Right? So, and it's turned out well, so I'm happy about that. But I can tell you why I'm a Clemson fan, right? And people can share their story for why they like certain things. You need to have a reason for why you love Jesus, for why you love this community, why you're excited about where we're going. Okay. So in conclusion, we've talked about this attitude, this interest that we have, this common goal that we're going. So what does that look like? And why is it important? How many of you in here collect light bulbs? Like just have like a collection of, you know, you're like, oh, this is my GE 30 watt light bulb right here. And this is, I've got an LED this long. This is my precious fluorescent tube that I collect, right? No, you want to do that now? You can. That'd be cool. Nobody typically collects light bulbs, right? Because they're around everywhere. They're pretty normal. They're fragile. They're easily broken. That's not what makes a light bulb remarkable. What makes a light bulb remarkable? So what do you got to do to get the light out of a light bulb? Plug it in, right? Not break it. Plug it in. So that's the thing. A light bulb is remarkable because you take it, you put it in a power source, and now you have this little, fragile, ordinary bulb that is doing amazing things. You put it in a dark room, it lights up the whole room, right? This thing that we take for granted has changed the world. And you know what our electricity is, our power source? It's Jesus. And it's through the Holy Spirit. And if you want to really make a difference and shine a light in this world, you've got to be plugged in to the power source. And part of that is together as a community, we can get plugged in together. If one light bulb is remarkable, what do several light bulbs look like? Have you ever been to an evening game at a football stadium? It's like daylight on the field. They're shining these lights down, right? Bring up the picture. What is this? That's America. Satellite of what? What are we looking at? At night. City lights. City lights, right? So let me ask you this. This is from space. So think about this. This is from outer space, thousands of miles away. Okay? So now, are those just one big light? Is that one big light that's doing that? No. Millions of lights together making such a difference that you can see it from space. So when we talk about community and why it's important, what's the big deal with community? Is when you put, instead of just being that one light out there fighting against the darkness, you put them all together and you can see it from space. You guys together, the power of your light united in one purpose for one goal can change the world. That's how powerful it is. And it can be seen from miles and miles away. And so that's what I ask you to do, is value this community. Be that light shining forth. Go together and just let it be seen from everywhere, right? I know as an older person seeing you guys, I'm so excited. I'm so encouraged. You guys are amazing to be here doing this. And I just anticipate great things for the future for all of you. And so I pray that you guys all do it together and that you do it in the Lord and just live out your lives in remarkable ways. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you in all things. We thank you so much for this great gift of salvation, the gift of community, for your love. God, I just pray that we would go forth and live in a way that's remarkable and that changes people's lives, that people want to have what we have, Lord, and that we can share with them your gospel. I pray that you will grow this community, keep these kids bonded together, Lord. Let them continue to grow and shine your light forward. I just pray, Lord, all this in Jesus, your son's precious name. Amen.